Hello, thank you for watching and listening to You Had Options. This episode I have Devin K of Direct Hit and Devin K and the Solutions on. Talk a lot about video games, his strong stances on video games, which I enjoy. He's a bit of a video game historian. We talk about, you know, our childhood and Sega Dreamcast. Yeah, fun conversation. Make sure you go follow his bands on Instagram. It's at Direct Hit Band and at Devin K and the Solutions. Devin K and the Solutions have been putting out a lot of cool singles here recently. Go check those out wherever you get your music. Make sure to follow You Had Options at You Had Options on Instagram and Twitter. Go follow the Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/youhadoptions. Trying to get up to the 50 followers so I can make that sweet, sweet affiliate money. Yeah. Thanks for watching and listening. Devin, thank you for joining me.
Hello. how are you?
I'm great, man. Are you using your OBS?
Of course. On this? Yeah. Yeah. That's a novelty that has not worn off to me yet.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. It never gets... I mean, this one I can have bees. Like, oh no, look at all these bees. Oh, god damn it. So that's part of the fun. What I've been doing with my time.
it took me a second to figure out that that's not a real cat. I mean, it's not.
Well,
it's,
that's a real cat.
It's a real cat.
Ramses, but there he is. There he is. So, you know, I got a lot of time.
Is that your actual cat?
Yes, that's my actual cat. We were filming some green screen stuff and he just sat down. So we recorded it, and then I just couldn't not have him always around.
Right.
He's like, I mean, he doesn't want to be around me because that's what cats do.
Right.
Then I just digitally insert him because I got, you know, dependency issues with my cat. Oh, damn it.
That's understandable. Bees. And then you got the bees.
All right.
So this is all for your Twitch.
Yes.
You've been Twitching a lot. How has that been going?
It's been good. I took a little bit of time away from it because there's been a bunch of, like, just, you know, life stuff. And I want to do almost like a season 2 kind of reboot, which... Ooh. I think I'm going to start in the next week or two.
Nice.
I really love the medium. I think the medium is absolutely incredible. And it's not all about video games. It's like your own public access show. And there's just something I've always liked about that. And so I was doing interviews, and then, I don't know, I feel like recently everybody's been kind of stepping outside for a minute. Everyone's, like, been stepping back from a lot of that stuff, and, you know, what with shit kind of opening up slowly but surely, or quickly, however your take is on it. But now that that's come to pass and no one's still back out on tour yet, I feel like I there's still time to just keep hassling people and interviewing them and
sick
talking. And yeah, you understand, talking to people on the internet's great.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's a nice way to feel like you're talking to another person.
Yeah, and like doing this sort of stuff, you know, I think I've said before in here, it's like, it's tough to just hit up somebody that you think is interesting and be like, hey, can I talk to you for like an hour? It's a lot easier to be like, hey, do you want to do my podcast or be on my Twitch show?
I mean, yeah, I think now is the time to just hit up people and talk to them. I feel like that's just been, I don't know, we're all so desperately lonely at the same time. So now it's just like, I'll talk to anyone kind of a thing. Anyone. See, I still have all these like queued up.
Damn,
yeah,
dude.
This is really, really dumb. But yeah, I just, I use it as a means to like, continue being at like a Wednesday show at a bar.
Yeah.
You know, that was like my reasoning for doing Twitch and shit. Because it was like, man, I don't have a way to like talk to semi-strangers in my field all the time. Oh, maybe I'll just do it on the internet. And that gives it a purpose. Yeah. You understand. Give it a if you give it a point, then, you know, you don't have to be weird.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, this is for a thing, not my own personal enjoyment now. Right. Yeah.
There's a duty, a calling. You know?
Yeah, yeah. This is art now, and thus it means that I can ask for more. I keep looking around, a little more than my normal twitchery.
Is
not
there,
like, the thing.
Is there a
Where
concern?
Where did I put my weed, you guys? That's, like, what's bugging me. I'm sitting here trying to chat. I'm just getting up in the middle of your show.
Hey, man. Explore the space. I'll, you know.
Where I put that damn weed? I think there's never been a more stonery problem.
I was about to say.
Misplacing one's marijuana. Oh, well, it's going to be an unfunny hour for me. I'm kidding. I'm already stoned, so we're good.
Just straight facts. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? What have you been doing with your time during this whole thing? What have you been up to?
Man, I started this podcast, and so I've been able to talk to some cool folks. I've been trying to get my Twitch going. It's tough, man. It's tough figuring
Which one's your Twitch? What's the name of it? Plug it.
You had options. Twitch.
Oh, very good.
TV.
That's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah. But it's a, you know, you've got a good, like you said, the, like, public access, like, show feel, like you have like cool bits and like stuff pop up and you know.
But it's whatever. I think that the coolest part about Twitch is that you really don't there's no like rules to adhere to. You can kind of do it whatever you want or however you want.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I am following you. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, man.
That's the other thing about Twitch is that it's still like not early, obviously it's been around forever, but like us olds getting into it is still kind of early. So it's still very like, I don't know. It's very supportive. It's a very supportive scene. I really enjoy it. It's very cool. It won't replace shows, but I almost like it better in some aspects than shows. I don't have to drive really far to do a Twitch show.
It's true.
I don't have to like, you know, be uncomfortable for 9 to 10 hours. Like, yeah,
there's no,
yeah, for 40 minutes of work that may or may not pay. It's like,
yeah,
it's
man,
pretty cool.
There's no gear hauling around, you know.
No, all the gear is firmly planted in this room, or I can move it to the kitchen sometimes when we do cooking or other dumb shit on the show. So it's nice, yeah. You know how heavy amps are, you know, they're terrible.
It's the worst, man.
Oh my God. Yeah. Everyone who's against that, like digitizing the amp, get rid of it. I'm all for it. I love it. Give me a computer that makes it sound like an amp. You're not going to know.
No.
Nobody knows because the computer is so good at it at this goddamn point that
it's a computer.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who gives a shit? Yeah. It's a computer. We're trusting it for this right now.
Right.
I can also probably trust it making weighing 1,000 pounds less than my wonderful Orange amp. Thanks, Orange, for sponsoring me and giving me that amp. Not to talk shit about how your stuff's archaic and useless in the long term, but thank you for the
big shout out to Orange.
A big shout out. Woo.
Oh shit.
Whatever. They even make programs that sound like their amps. It's like we're hitting that point now. So who gives a shit? That's that's my rant.
Embrace it,
baby.
It's coming. The sound of inevitability.
Already here, man. You just gotta get used to it.
Yeah. Do you have two cameras?
I do have two cameras.
Wow.
Yeah. I gotta. Well, you can also. I can. Like, I use my phone. I got like a green screen that I set up over yonder and stuff. It's amazing how like consumer and affordable and easy it actually is.
Right.
I don't think, obviously the computer was the biggest investment, but I also need that for a myriad of other things.
Right.
So yeah, you make that one time investment to make you money. And then it's like, well, what the hell else can it do? And then you spend $30 on Amazon for a company called Spettle that makes my webcam, I guess.
Shout out to Spettle.
Yeah. So thanks, Spettle, for all your kindness. These are terrible cameras. They like break all the time, but it's great. You don't have to have like, my capture card is like $30. Chris Grau helped me start. Do you know who Chris Grau is? Uh-huh. Or Chris Grau has done like music videos for everybody in like the ska scene.
Oh, okay.
From like We Are the Union to fucking Bite Me Bambi. He works with NoFX on like video stuff. He kind of set me up with how to do all this, taught me like OBS, and we didn't even know each other. Like, we just were mutual fans of each other's work. And yeah. Then now he's my go-to ideas and IT guy. And it's like, that's just another testament to how wonderful the internet platform can be during times of isolation, right. You know?
Community. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It exists. It's real. And it's here forever, baby.
Boom. There you go.
There you go. All right. So what else do you want to talk about? What else do you want to do? You got me. I'm here.
Man, we're talking
about coffee.
We're doing it right now. What? Devin K and the Solutions have been putting out singles.
We have.
Has the you have a new record coming out?
We do. I hate being a person who's like very unpopular and not famous to say things like I can't really
talk about it.
Yeah, but I can't. I can't really talk about it.
That's cool.
So for whoever tunes into this, you'll notice that this month there will be no single, which I know we said every month, but that's because the intended purpose of doing singles every month may be paying off. So just wait and hopefully that will all come to fruition as we're talking about it now with other stuff being intentionally vague. And then you'll see why, and then it'll start back up, and then we'll have a new record out and you're gonna love it. So it's good. It's fucking good. I usually don't say things are good. I usually don't like anything. Really? I like this record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
could go either way on that. This one's good. This is good. Brainless God? Sure. I don't know. But this one, love it. Pretty good. It's okay.
Yeah, I've liked the singles so far.
Thank you.
In my preparation for this, I was listening today to a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. We're just kind of doing whatever right now, sound-wise. And yeah. I like that.
It's cool.
I want to keep doing that. Yeah, I want to keep going with that. I don't want to. Punk is like, you can only do so much with punk, you know what I mean? But if you like follow the rules that everybody puts into place, there's like a high society of snobbery in punk and ska and everything, I feel like, at times, which is going to be it's in everywhere. It's every genre. It's just the ones that I align with at times.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh. But also, again, it's everywhere. You can just ignore it and do your own thing and have fun and embrace all the good stuff. So I want to do that. And then I also want to add like electronic stuff and like high production and crazy instrumentals. And it's like, why shouldn't you?
Right.
I don't know. All the Ramones records that people just still listen to are the ones that were all guzzied up after they were done anyway with like chimes and bells and whistles. Who gives a shit? You know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
12-string guitars. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, that stuff, I haven't done that yet. Six is enough,
right?
Who can figure out what to do with those others? I barely remember what to do with the 12, six that are there. Not
what's,
12.
What's the wackiest instrument you've used on a Solution song?
Oh, wackiest. I mean, so Joram, our keyboard player, uses a myriad of samples on their keyboard setup. So we get to do like lots of, we've been kind of obsessed with bells, like I've been liking really, really theatrical shit. But then also with like kind of like 80s synth. The weirdest thing I've been getting into like not like official slide guitar, but implementing slide in my solos and stuff like That's that. Cool. So that one's been a lot. I've been doing a lot more slide stuff.
That's cool.
But not like, again, not like a talented slide player, like someone who found a slide and is like, well, let's see what this thing's all about. Yeah.
Wait, is it an actual slide guitar or are you using like a...
No, I'm using my my guitar, and then
this that little guy.
Little guy, and then it's like, wow,
whip, wow. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got that going for us, which is nice. Yeah. And if we could, I would have like an orchestra play. It'd be like polyphonic spree shit.
Wow. But, ropes?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Costumes?
Maybe. Was that
robes, costumes?
We already do some sort of like we have the what I guess our dress code is like schlub going to a job interview, so we all wear like crappy button up shirts. It's like I've always appreciated when a band it's like you can go both ways, I think. Obviously, yeah. Like Direct Hit, we don't dress up in any certain way, but that's almost like a uniform within itself kind of deal. It's like, you know. Walk on stage in what you were wearing, walk off and hang out in what you were wearing.
Yeah.
Deal. But I've also liked watching punk as fuck bands like Anti-Flag all dress in fucking black and look good as fuck doing it. And are still, you know, it's part of the show. So
yeah,
I think we wanted to have some sort of, especially because we noticed that bands in punk ska and all that stuff were getting this kind of boost as we started to come back. And it's like kind of a coincidence. We almost wanted to, I don't know, like embrace what we liked about the because there's a lot of hate for the goofiness of 90s like ska, the ska and stuff, but I liked it.
Right.
In some of it I liked, obviously, but I definitely liked there was like this weird style of like goofy uniform. Maybe like Aquabats is like the furthest and Real Big Fish are pretty far in there, but like the Hippos still had Heads Are Gonna Roll, where they were all down in their button-ups that were all gray, and it looked fucking, to me, it looked like a really stylish loser core look, and I fucking loved it. Yeah. So I think that's what we're stealing from.
That's cool.
As we were noticing this whole thing of just like, oh, we should almost make it look like we didn't, we like got the memo at the last second that uniforms were in. So it's like, well, I don't know, put on a button-up.
Like, I did notice in a video you posted recently where you're wearing a button down like long sleeve denim shirt tucked in to your jeans.
Yep.
And so I was like, that's a look, man. I love it.
Yeah. It's like, it's a bad, we want to be like the least cool, good band. Like, I don't know. Cool is like really a lot of work, and to be cool is like really tough. And I think that there's like, during the pandemic, I followed a lot of Oliver Tree.
Okay.
I still like Oliver Tree, and I kind of fell in love with like that. I've been, what is this dude I've been fucking obsessed with? Nick Lutzko, who I really like. If you ever watched his stuff, It's like, it's all like, it's kind of, it's like really good music that is like at times, like I feel like Oliver Tree can almost be seen as funny, but I think the music is super good.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's like all an image. Like Nick Lutzko does that same thing where it's all this, it's almost like comedy, but the fucking songs like still slap and like out of context can still make you feel weird.
Yeah.
Which is like really neat. Like I've been obsessed with that recently. So that's what I've been trying to gear with the Solutions.
It's
performative theater rock. Like theater kid rock.
Like Oliver Tree,
absolutely. That's,
it's just such a strange, like you said, like character, but the music is insane. It's so good.
And the character can at times undermine what's happening in the seriousness of the music, and I really love that like change, because you're almost watching two different content streams based around the same piece of music, which is like, oh shit, that rules. And it's like, obviously dude's got label money and all like crazy shit behind him,
for sure.
Like big maybe even industry plant shit, but who cares? Honestly, I don't care about any of that as long as the tunes are good. There's a lot of plants that we all end up liking, not Tramp Stamps, but you get it.
That's a crazy I saw that recently, all the Tramp Stamps stuff.
It's funny. It's like not a surprise to me that it exists. And it wouldn't have ever really, especially me, this old dying person that I am, I probably would never have come across it on my For You on TikTok.
Yeah.
But then when everyone on kind of Twitter started like making fun of it, is the only time I really tuned in, got my laughs, and then I got out.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty standard, like crummy pop. And it's like, it makes perfect sense. And I think people who like it will like it, and it's gonna then it will just either fizzle or I don't know, be like a broken side, almost meme 10 years ahead of its time kind of a thing.
Visionaries. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess the real point is that this is a broken side appreciation. No, I don't know. I think they did like terrible things.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't want to sing their praises either.
Oh no. Well, redacted.
Yeah. we'll cut that out in post. The broken side stuff.
We can get that in post. Oh man. So what else have you done in your quarantine, COVID, life?
What else have I done? I spent a lot of it working on music.
Yeah.
Twitch. I almost like can't slow down or stop. It's weird to me. I have to hit like kind of like a milestone. Like recently I've taken a break because I feel like we've gotten to a spot where we can't really move yet. So it's like, oh fuck. Like I'm just going to breathe for a minute. And then you have to kind of go back in like, I don't know. So like I worked on this unreleased thing, most of it by like recording a lot in on my laptop that's behind me and then bringing it to, cause you know, we obviously couldn't get together. So it was kind of like, you would always take a risk during like peak peak infection times and all that shit. So like we would just have to kind of like get Jorm and I in a room together and then like Jacob maybe, and then like we would wait 2 weeks and then we would get back in a room with Ian, our trumpet player, instead. And we would kind of helm that, and since we record everything ourselves and don't use any like studio stuff, we just use whatever we can. It was a lot of just managing that and seeing different ways that we could get stuff onto an audio file and then send it off to Mike Kennedy from the Rejects, who mixes and helps fine tune our sound, because bringing it back, we've embraced that digital soundscape where it's like, I haven't plugged in my amp to record a live amp in a long time because I don't need to right now. And I'm confined to an apartment. So I use things that sound exactly like my amp.
Yeah.
And you don't notice. And then I tell people and they go, that's not cool. And then you're like, you didn't notice. Like you did it. You probably, some of your favorite record. If any one of those people who like sings about how great the new Machine Gun Kelly record is, it's like that guy did the same shit.
Like, all computer.
They just were, was that?
All computer.
Yeah, all computer. And it's fine. What difference does it fucking make? Someone still played it. Like,
right.
Or if they didn't, someone wrote it. I don't know. I'm over all this, the drama of it. I'm over it, you know? Who needs it? Why spend, who wants to go to a studio? It's like there's some person there you don't know, and you gotta like be good all the time. In this setting, I could like have a night where I just suck, and it's like, well, I'm just not gonna use any of those takes. I'm gonna get a good night's rest and then do it tomorrow. And then lo and behold, you have it. You don't have that looming counter of hours up against your back. I gotta get a good take, or I gotta rush, or I gotta do this. You set your rules. Set your rules.
Mm.
Yeah, that's like what's been, that's what I've done. That was your question, was what did I do during the pandemic? I can talk about nothing. You have no idea. I caught up on a lot of video games. I got to try out a bunch of new stuff using this gaming PC that I have now that I sunk a bunch of money into.
Hell yeah.
It was time. I have like all of these like on this. I have a huge video game collector. That's only like a small portion of it. And I was playing off of all the dedicated consoles for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I still do. But then I've realized I was missing out on all of this incredible like indie content that I can't really get anywhere. And when Cyberpunk came out, it was way cooler to play it on a PC where it was kind of intended to be, even though it was still like buggy and garbage and ended up kind of being like a dumb game. I still had a way more fun time with that build than I bet I would have if I had played it on my PS4 or whatever. It still made me go like, okay, this game has its flaws, but it also is kind of better. I don't know why that was important to me to have that opinion about a game that was essentially like the Duke Nukem Forever of its time. But yeah, that's what I've been up to, making opinions about video games. Are you playing anything right now?
I just beat the new Resident Evil. I think I'm going to go back through.
Good. Don't tell me. Okay. I just got... I don't want to spoil it for anyone listening, so plug your ears. But I got to the baby monster.
Ooh.
That's one of my favorite, like, segments in... I don't know. My favorite game is PT, arguably. And it felt like they were doing a whole PT tribute with that section. And I still haven't beaten it yet. I'm in like one of the lockers right now as it's crawling around.
Yeah.
But like you kind of knew what was going to happen. They almost like alluded to like a PT sort of thing when the ghost disappears. No spoilers. But yeah, that first time that it pops its head around.
Yeah.
As you follow the cord was one of my like favorite. Like, I just let it eat me because I was so cool. Oh, man, this is awesome. Uh-oh. Like, yeah.
Right.
Like, I had to start over just because it was good. That village has been really, really cool so far.
It's great.
And I don't get why people are bitching. I love that it fucking moves. Everyone's like, I need a 70-hour experience in these games. And it's just like, fuck. What do you do that you have 70 hours? Like, give me the fucking good parts. Like, I don't care. $60. Go to a Regal Cinema and tell me if you get popcorn and a soda, you're not going to end up spending $60 for 2 hours. What are you crazy? Yeah. People are whining about everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
People complain. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. There's no filler in that game. It's so good.
No, exactly. Yeah. It just keeps it fucking moving. It's cool. So far, I've been very happy with it. I hear that there's a segment that will let me down. And then it will get good again. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I had no problems. I'm not going to give you any spoilers or anything. But
okay, good.
Yeah.
I'll end this Zoom
call. Promptly end the Zoom call. Good day.
Yeah, just close it out.
Oh, man.
But yeah, Resident Evil Village kicks ass. There's been so much cool shit that's come out. Obviously, I'm very into video games. Right. It's a big part of my life.
What was one of your big like childhood games?
Ooh,
like your fondest memory or your favorite one that just pops to your brain?
It's always Jet Grind Radio. Is like second real WoW. I think everyone in my age bracket has like. I feel like everybody's age bracket has similar video game like WoW moments. Like mine is definitely the Super Mario 64. First time you play it, you've never seen anything like it. It makes your head hurt. You remember his face like popping in 3D, and you're just like, whoa! I just can't. And then you play it until your eyes bleed. But Jack Ryan Radio is like the Dreamcast is like my favorite.
Oh yeah,
I have a really really extensive collection of Dreamcast shit. I don't think there's like a system that made my jaw like hurt because it was constantly agape. It was like Jack Ryan Radio is like the first game that made me kind of be like, wow, you can make something completely unique with this medium. And like, you don't need to apologize. Like, that's why the Dreamcast was so special. Like Sonic Adventure 1 is like one of the best games ever made, even though it's fundamentally pretty gross and broken to play because, you know, so was Super Mario 64's camera. Like, we look past these things from a technical point. And that game is fucking amazing because it was just like, hey, you know what you like about Sonic? We're just going to not do that. Like, we're just going to stop that for a minute and see what else we can do. And that's, I don't know. I like when people do that. I have this thing about the Marvel movies where I don't really get into the Marvel movies because I feel like I'm just being sold the same origin story over and over again. And then eventually it's now all just like everybody fucking elbowing each other going like, like, look at that. It's Iron Man in this one. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm wrong because everyone else likes it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the idiot, but I guess I can't help but I'm the idiot. And so like that shit is like, to me, like the Call of Duty of like video games. Like, yeah, they're good, but I don't know. I get it and I enjoy them, but I also don't champion them. There's so much other cool, weird shit that this medium has produced and that we need to like focus on. And that was like Jack Ryan Radio for me. It was kind of like that Space Channel 5. I'm even looking at them all right now. Shenmue blew my mind, even though it was extremely boring, despite what anybody says. Anybody who says Shenmue is fun is lying to you. They just do it because they read it on like Polygon or something. That it was a good game. It's so boring. Oh my God. The Crazy Taxi ports are like unbelievable. Yeah. It's very few arcade games translate to like the home center, and the Dreamcast made that. And I kind of have like a big background in arcade. I have one right next to me, right over there.
Like, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I dig that vibe. That's my first big video game memory. Can you tell that I tangent a lot? I'm sorry.
I love it, man. No, we nothing but time. Yeah. Gamecast was so, like, it was too early, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was early. It was different. And then it also didn't have, like, the modern marvel of the DVD player, which is, like,
yeah,
the funniest thing to think about, what probably put the hammer down on it was like Sony's like, yo, check this out. Not only do we have solid ass lineup of games constantly, you can watch DVDs and those are cool right now. And yeah, it was PS2 is an amazing, yeah, amazing console and a rightful killer of it. But I don't know. There's something about it. Also, if you think about if the Dreamcast went any longer, I don't know. It probably would have been a sadder story. You know, probably would have been like one of those bands that should only have like two albums and has like 40.
Just keeps going. Like,
yeah. I don't know if it would have been revered in the same past light had it gone on any further.
That's true. I remember as a kid when we had the Dreamcast and my brother was playing Phantasy Star Online, with people online. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, these people, what are you talking about? These are real people.
It's like, well, what are they in the other room?
Right.
And you're like, no, they're in a whole different house.
Right.
Maybe on a different place. Yeah, then you puke again. It was like a mind numbing device that I had four of laying around.
The memory cards with the screens.
Hell yeah, VMUs.
Yeah.
Those are what an amazing little tack on to it. Just the whole thing just screams fun when you look at it. Yeah. And it's like the PS2 is a fucking, like, it looks like a goddamn like cable box in its first iteration. Same with like, I don't know, the Xbox, the first Xbox is really cool. I'm looking at it now. But yeah, that first, I have the fat PlayStation. I don't have any of the slim ones. I don't like those as much. But yeah. Yeah, the fat, that looks like a fucking, that looks like a modem.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then there's this Dreamcast, which is this weird little gray, and it was so loud.
Mm.
Like, I feel like that's like one of my favorite qualities of it, is that disc drive is just like, you could not play it when your parents were like asleep and you had a small house, because it would just be like fucking roaring at full blast, and they would know you're up.
Yeah.
So loved that sellout machine as I would try and game at night before school. it was cool. That's my Dreamcast rant.
Hell,
that's
yeah,
me ranting about the Dreamcast.
Yeah. Then, yeah. So you've been a video game person for your whole life, pretty much.
I think so. Because the earliest memory of it was like I would go to my grandfather's house and they for some reason had a fucking Nintendo, and I don't think they ever used it. I think they just like obtained it or something. Yeah. But they also knew that it was like the one thing that would
for the grandkids
make me happy.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like talk to anybody. I wasn't like a very social kid.
Right.
I was also like the youngest of a lot of like not siblings but like family. So I was already had this weird like I don't know what you're talking about. This is a lot for me. So yeah, they would plop me in front of it, and they would get like a random game like once a year, and it was always some weird thing, which is what turned me on to the Adventures of Lolo. I don't know if you ever played that.
No, game. What is that one?
There's three of them. You're this like little dot, and you just solve like puzzles.
Okay.
And you're looking for your girlfriend who's a pink dot.
Oh.
And it's like a really fun puzzle game. That game showed up in their collection, and I don't know why. There was a lot of golf games that I had played a lot of as a kid because they were like, oh, kids love golf.
Golf, it's a kid's sport. Yeah,
yeah, grow golf. You know what? Kids are always can't shut the fuck up about this golf. Yeah,
can't keep them away from the links.
Oh my god, my kid is just like golf. I need it. And that was like, and then of course there was Mario 3, which was like, fine, just put that on. But I fell in love with all these like weird ass games because the off-road series, which is like my favorite, like weird ass, like from arcade to NES to the dog shit iterations that came after, all stemmed from that NES kind of a thing. Cause they were like, oh, kids love rally kart racing. If there's one thing people love is Ivan Iron Man Reitman, of the rally car race fame, who everyone remembers. He's going to love this fucking.
Yeah,
he's going to love. Yeah, everyone remembers his accomplishments, and I need to say nothing else about it because you already know. And right. That would be annoying. Yeah, that's like one of my favorite games due to that whole thing. So yeah, I've been playing games since like a long ass time, and I'm a a long time defender of them being just as much of art as anything else, of a thing.
Man. Like a guy like Kojima or something. He's making like, his games are like movies, pretty much. Yeah,
I agree. Death Stranding was like, I don't know, was that a pandemic game? I don't think so.
I think it was right, a little bit before.
Yeah, but I played that like top to bottom. I don't know why that was like the funniest thing is because my partner Kat and I were living in I gestured to the door because she's outside.
There she is. She's listening.
Just listening. Yeah. With a cup. It's like, I said your name, honey. That's in our contract. I remember it coming out and we were living in a studio and we only had one room, obviously, as a studio does. It would one TV. Yeah. And that would always be on, and it's not an entertaining game to watch. No. It's hardly an entertaining game to play.
Yeah.
But there's something so fucking compelling about it that I don't know what it was. And when it was done, I just was like, And that was it. That was like the end of my feelings. I hated the story, but I also didn't care that I hated the story because I also liked it because I have an appreciation for I'll usually like something if it's something that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, it's like horror movies have that way with me where it's like a lot of really bad ones exist, but you still kind of appreciate somebody trying something completely original and sure it'll flop, but like you got to give him at least an original idea is like an impossible thing.
It's tough.
When Marvel movies exist. I haven't done a cut in a while.
There you go. Yeah.
that game was good. I redownloaded it on PC to look at it in its fancy graphics, and I have not tried it since. That was $30 I just flushed down the toilet. So maybe I'll play it again. Maybe I'll play it with mods. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I do have.
Have I talked you out of your complete rhythm? I'm so sorry.
No, man. No, this is what it's all about.
You are hearing me talk.
You're making it easy for me.
Sick. All right.
I do have some I came up with some lightning round questions.
Okay. We'll see how that goes with me.
I'm using lightning, you know, very loosely.
Yeah, you know how lightning strikes very slow and to the point.
It's drawn out.
Lost and wobbly and noodle-like. Yeah.
Are you in Milwaukee? Is it?
I'm in Chicago.
Chicago.
I'm the only person in direct. Well, no, that's not true anymore because now Joram is in Chicago. But I've never lived in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
I've always commuted from Chicago to Milwaukee to play with and around Direct Hits.
How far away is that? How long a drive?
81 miles city center to city center.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's okay. It's like an hour and a half. It's like whatever. I don't know.
It's not terrible.
I don't really commute to work when I live in a city. So that's my commute. That's what I commute to, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. but it's fine. We're a band that gets together, but we're also a band of old people. No, we're not old, but we have a different
adults.
A different, yeah. Yeah, we've been around for a while, and so there's a different level of, dare I say, professionalism at times, but yeah. Also, you know, like there's no more of that, like, what am I going to do? Like, just learn your part. And if you don't learn it, we'll learn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not like drama or that shit. I feel like that was like a younger band thing. Now that we're an older band, I think the band's going on like 12 fucking years and shit. I've been in for 10 now.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's like one of those things where, yeah, you show up and you know the best that you know, and then you just shrug it off. We're an aging punk band. It's part of it.
Is it tough to, like, when you're writing a song, are you like, okay, I'm going to write a song. This is going to be a direct hit song, or this is going to be a solution song. Is it tough, like, with that balance?
I go into it thinking like that, but I go into, like, songwriting as kind of like the creation of a product. I know that sounds like really bad, and that's not the intention,
but it's
the way that I can put it together. So it's like, if I am going to write something for direct hit, I'm going to write something for direct hit that falls within the loose, like, there's no real boundaries. Obviously,
right.
we could write like a honky tonk record, you know, like that's up to us. But then, you know, there's also just like little things that make the songs in direct hit. So you try to incorporate those. Whereas I know my formula for the solutions, which isn't a secret. You can hear it if you just like parse out each song. They all follow like three set patterns. But I think that's what all, like, you know, songwriters kind of do.
Yeah.
It's just they verbalize it that way. There are also people that don't do that, that like make that I respect, because I don't know how to do it like that way. Like people who can just be like, oh, I have to do it completely from feel without an intention going in. It's like, no, I have my $1 million hook, baby.
Yeah.
And like, I got to sell that hook. And that's what I want to do.
Mr. Big. Yep.
Yeah. Like let's get out there and give them a show. Like, how can this song be like, have, you know, yeah, to it.
Yeah.
And that's just my method. So yeah, I always try to, if I'm writing for another band or I'm writing with another band, like when I was working on that Dollar Signs record, it was kind of like, how do you like find the little things that make this artist? I didn't write any of their stuff. I helped produce their record, but it's like, yeah, how do you sell the charm of this band, and how do you sell the charm of that band? Because otherwise we would all just sound the same.
Yeah.
Like a dumb little example of it is like in all these solution songs, there's this, not all of them, but you'll hear it in some where it's like a fall down on the piano. It's like, blam, 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 blam.
Yeah.
And that's just been like a trope of mine. Like that isn't Joram doing that, even though Joram plays the keyboard. Like we all obviously loosely play tons of different stuff. There's songs that I barely play guitar on because other members are better suited or have different styles and stuff. Like when you hear that falling piano thing, that's just been like this thing that I think is like a thematic, nice.
Yeah.
Like it's like a thing that you'll start to catch if you listen to a lot of our stuff, and you'll be like, haha. It's almost like those jazz. I make this reference all the time, but it's like those, when you like watch a jazz performance and there's like a guy who laughs in the crowd. I think this is like a bit I'm stealing from a stand-up comedian. And I don't mean to, but it's so relatable because it's like, when I was in like music school, there was always the jazz instructor who would play like this lick that I guess is like a joke. Jacob knows more about it, being a better smart person than me. And like, yeah, he'd be like, ha, like in the audience, or like, ho ho, anytime someone would do like a sick fucking move.
Yeah.
And I just always thought that was like my equivalent to doing that, would be like, you stick these little tropes that,
yeah,
are peppered out, and that's like your charm as a band, because at the end of the day you're writing pop punk songs. Like there's no, you're not changing that. But
right.
How do you make this pop punk song more quirky, and or more in direct hit sense, like hard hitting and melody based, yeah, which is like a lot of how that band works. I like to keep the energy up, keep the melody as like what you're selling. A lot of downstroking, like make sure you're doing that Ramonesy kind of stuff, yeah. And like, you know, when you're doing your solos and stuff, try to incorporate the melody. That's like a big thing we like to do, and I think that's like, obviously it's a long-standing, a lot of bands do it, but it's like, you know, just stuff to think about. That's how I do it. Yeah. That's my, yeah, I did it. I already took away your lightning round. Lightning has just gone very, yeah, like it's just down slowly.
Do you do you produce a lot of records?
No, I don't know.
Is it a thing you want to do?
Yes, very much. I really like, watching other artists work and getting to kind of. Well, I think that half of the production to me is being that other person who sees what the people in the band don't see, and like,
ooh, yeah,
I think that's like what Mike Kennedy has really been to a lot of the music I've put out. Is he has that ear of what I want, but also can't do because I'm too selfish and stupid when I'm making music. So that's my goal, is I get to like work with other people and kind of pick apart their stuff, but in like a totally non-judgmental way, just right. More of like, you know what your band sounds like? A triangle right there. And it's just like, trust me, people are going to remember that triangle. And it's like, stupid, weird little shit that you don't get to do. We like self-produce all our records, so I guess we kind of produce, you know, our own stuff. But yeah, I'd like to start doing more for other people. That Dollar Signs thing was like crazy fun, a real learning experience. At times I wanted to pull my hair out, but I think that's part of it. That's like the fun.
Yeah. And like you were saying, it's for another band, it's the music isn't like precious to you, you know, where it's like,
yeah, right. But also like I understand that it's precious to
a
ton of people. Yeah. Right. So it's like you're walking this line where you don't want to be like, I think in the middle of the song you should be like, fuck. like, no, like that's not what your band normally does, right. And maybe you shouldn't do that. It's more like, yeah, how are you gonna get that dumb Twitter comment that's like triangle, like on the fucking offbeat, like unbelievable. Like it's just, it's fun.
Yeah.
Music is really fun that way. And yeah, I think that's also going back is what I mean by like the commercialization of it. It's like, you're kind of selling, you're just like selling an experience in like a way. Mm. Like you want to get, especially with like punk and shit. It's like, you're trying to get people, no matter what, the energy's there. You're trying to get somebody to feel something through this like fucking fast-paced shit, and I don't know, that's what I'm aiming for constantly. So let me produce your record, viewer.
Do it. Yeah.
yeah do it. Just do it.
Have you ever wanted to do like a full, like I don't know, like a synth album or something wacky like that?
Oh yeah, I definitely want, I want to do like, I'm pretty open to stuff. I think we've been pushing that kind of stuff, like that One Horse song, Unlimited Joy, and Parchment and Petroleum that just came out, where
that's a good one.
We're like, the guitar doesn't have to be the instrument that carries the song. It can be other instruments. I need to learn that there are other instruments that have rhythmic and melodic value, that it's been super cool. I know that, I mean, we're already talking about our next one. We're always talking about the next one because we like to just put out a lot.
Yeah.
And I write songs at a pretty fast click. But I mean, the next one we want to do more like, these past two have been super maximalist in the sense of all the stuff we're putting into it and all six members fucking going, you know, most of the time. But what if we did one where it's very minimal, but with these six members, and like, we kind of did it with those acoustic and Achilles Feel stuff, and now we want to like try and fuck with that even more, where I don't know, like a lot of pop music I'm noticing there's like, is very minimal right now. It's like a beat and like some cool sample pad and like not a whole bunch else. And it fucking works, and it rules, and it's melody based and style based. Yeah. So it's like, what? Why not? Why can't we do that? Who's saying that? Who the fuck is anyone even saying anything about my band? No. So like, who gives a shit? Like, like, we can do whatever we want. And I think everybody should kind of do whatever they want now. I mean, we just lived through a global pandemic. Why aren't you letting it all hang out now? You know, you didn't die. So let's get fucking weird and be cool with ourselves at this point, and take away dipshit genres that I fucking just can't stand people trying to place everything somewhere. Just pisses me off. I feel like genres are helpful for cataloging things at a store, but not for speaking to an artist's range.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Drop that bomb.
Yeah, it can be limiting, you know, for arbitrary reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your favorite truck stop or gas station when you guys are touring?
That's really funny that you asked that. That's one of my favorite questions to ask on our Twitch show.
Yeah.
I love that. Mine is, oh, don't make me choose. You know, it's like one of those things where no one ever asks me how my day is going. And this is it. This is that moment. I say Wawa is still the favorite, just as like a local to that truck stop chain.
Yeah.
But then there's like Sheetz has got some good ass fucking food. Yeah. I don't care for Come and Go. They don't ever have anything. I don't know why people. I mean, it's a funny name, but
it's true.
They don't have regional foods. Everyone likes Buc-ee's. I like Buc-ee's to an extent. I think I like Buc-ee's before the pandemic because Buc-ee's is like a carnival fair.
Yeah.
In the amount of people that are there at any given juncture. So I don't know if I'm ready to dive back into buying my caramel popcorn.
Your beaver nuggets, people. Yeah.
So, but I do like Buc-ee's. I do like that their bathrooms are like trying to prove something to you.
Yeah, that's true.
I always find that really funny. They have like underglow and shit. It's like, it's pissing at a truck stop.
Doing the most, yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Like, you're really showing me that you've changed. Like, okay, yeah. Thanks. So yeah, those are that's my long-winded answer. Wawa has the single best food situation going on
for sure.
I mean, you're always going to get diarrhea, but that's one of them. But you know, it's a good diarrhea. It's an earned diarrhea. You gotta earn your diarrhea.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. These bees.
Yeah, man, buy the ticket, take the ride, get the diarrhea, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know what you showed up for.
Oh man, what was your last tattoo?
This bear wearing sunglasses.
Whoa.
Done by a guy in Florida. Squid ink tattoo. Yeah, that's like my spirit animal. They get like stuck in things. They're too big a lot of the time.
Yeah.
They mean well, but then they get curious and break stuff. That's just like me in a nutshell. I'm just a big dumb bear who's like hungry and wandering into town and upsetting the people. Yeah. That's how I've always seen it. So. Love
it. And it's got sunglasses. It's, you know.
Yeah. You know, he's probably hungover or something.
Hungover, yeah.
Or tired. Yeah.
I feel hungover bear. I feel that. I can relate.
Yeah. I'm a hungover bear. And that's most of it. I am today. So that's good.
What's your worst borders/customs experience?
Let's see. Borders and customs has always been like kind of a whatever. I mean, you always kind of get used to it being just a slight pain or like always a little bit scary too. Like, I don't know. Yeah. There's always something you're like giving up like every right you have to be in this weird dead zone for a little bit.
Yeah.
We had like, I don't know. We've been like turned away a couple of times in like our career for like bullshit, dumb stuff. We definitely, oh, nice. My stalling paid off. there was this direct hit tour we did with the D-Cracks, a band from Austria.
Right.
And I believe it was the D-Cracks, us, and the Jetty Boys from Sheboygan.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened where the D-Cracks didn't get their paperwork correct, and they were going to kind of fudge it, which I've definitely seen people do and like get through and stuff. So it was kind of like, okay, do you? And so they were driving with the Jetty Boys, and they got stuck and stopped, and they were like, are you a band? And they were like, no. And then they saw their equipment, and they're like, well, okay. And so then this was coming back from Canada into the state.
Okay.
So the Austrians got sent back from, so like the Jetty Boys had to miss a couple shows. They got booted from the States and Canada. And now I don't think that they might be able to now. It's enough time may have passed. It was pretty early on in my time with Direct Hit. I think it was like a 7-year ban on coming to the States. They haven't come back yet. And I don't think that they will, because it's almost like if you've ever toured Europe and then go and tour the States, why?
Yeah.
They treat you with like respect there, and here we don't. So yeah. But yeah, that's one of the worst. And one of the best was going into France, which is like one of my favorite places on the planet. And, they like, I remember we didn't have to show our passport. Just like,
just
get on into France. It was like one of those like weird, you know, you've been traveling like 3 flights, you get in, you're fucking jet lag, and you're looking on a show that night, so you're like, oh, I'm gonna need to nap, and we're gonna have to get right to it, which is exciting and fun, but you always have that pit in your stomach. And we're like, hello, I'm from America. They're like, get in. And you're like, okay. Like, sick. All right. So yeah, then that just fits my whole vibe, was that France. Like, just, I like the way they think. Right, yeah, that was pretty whatever. Sick. Like, just, yeah, like, get on in. I don't care what you're doing. Leave me alone. I don't want to work. And it's like, I don't want to work. I love this.
I can really, yeah.
Yeah, it's a holiday again in France. Let's just not work. Oh, I love that.
It's second Bastille Day. So we can,
yeah. It's a bank holiday. Don't ask which one. Right. We're not open.
Right.
Yeah, safe.
Closed. Yeah. What's your favorite regional beer?
I don't give a shit about beer.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I know. I like drinking super light Miller Lite, and I like it. I like the way it makes me feel.
Hey.
But I don't have a palate for beer, and it can actually be a hindrance in talking to fellow people my age. I even work right now at a bar, and I lie out of my butt when people are like, what does that taste like? And I'm like, an IPA. And they're like, oh, is it hoppy? is it hoppy? I'll get you one. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what any of that means. Hoppy generally means that I'm going to do one of these and I drink it. Like, you know, like that's, I like wine. I like mimosa. I just like fruity, tasty stuff and Miller Lite a lot. And Malort. I like Malort a lot.
What's your favorite wine then?
Oh, a white or anything under $8. Not a big red wine guy. I like shitty, cheap. I don't really care for, I like what alcohol does for you for the first hour and a half, and then after that it's just kind of a chore.
Yeah.
So I don't like make a big deal when I drink it. I just try and get it in and then feel good for that hour and then get tired and go to bed, get gassy. Drinking has gotten definitely like different with age. Which I know is like a trite and boring thing to say, but it's true. It's not nearly as fun as it used to be. It's no longer a challenge. It's more of a time management thing now.
Wow.
Yeah. What used to be a, how can we do this as much as possible to challenge our bodies, is now, I need the next 2 days to go well. So I need to stop at a certain hour and drink water.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot more planning that goes into it. I don't like to be hungover at work in any circumstance anymore. It just makes me shitty at what I do. And it just makes my life miserable. I don't like being hungover anymore,
yeah.
But it's like this constant balance when you work in a bar. I haven't worked in a bar in a long time. I got it from I got the job from a friend, actually a solution, who has worked in bars their whole life. And going back to it is like an eye opening kind of fucking thing where it's just like, hey, that guy just bought you a shot. And I'm like, the customer? And they're like, yeah, they want you to be drunk. And you're like, why? And this is a weird place. This is a weird dynamic. Like, that guy just wants you to also be drunk. And you're like,
okay.
Okay. But I also like to, you know, think on the job and like, you know, not get gassy or like gross mouth. You know what I mean? It's just, it's such a weird, it's a different culture I haven't been back into in a very long time. And then also back to that favorite beer, everybody wants to talk about spirits and stuff. And I'm like, have you ever put a little bit of orange juice in Miller Lite on a Sunday morning and have seen, yeah, seen God?
Seen God. The face of God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's about the end of like my knowledge and stuff. And then, yeah, like I like Malort, like unironically as an aging hipster in Chicago.
Wow.
So I'm almost like a pain in the ass. Like people just like make fucking faces at me and they're like, what do you want? I was like, oh, I really only shoot Malort because first of all, shooting is like an absurd thing that with age and pull back on context, you're like, I literally need that liquor in my body so fast. They will give it to me in the most, like the closest you'll get to being sick, drinking it straight.
Right.
We've designed a glass that is just enough that you won't puke inhaling it this way. And yeah, that's how you do it. And it's just like, I never gave shots any thought until I was at a bar and you're just like, gotta get started, need it to work. And you're like, oh no, what a crazy environment. So yeah.
Have you made a Malort mixed drink?
There was a bar in Chicago called, it's still around. I lived above it at a house venue. It's called Kohl's. It's very hip and hipstery, which it tracks. I haven't been in a while because I live in a different neighborhood. But when I would go there like way too much when I was younger, I like to like go to a bar sometimes and just like either read or like play my DS or something. You know, and just kind of like listen to people and music and have a couple beers. I used to do that again a lot more when I was younger and I lived above this place. But I would like talk to like some of the bartenders or whatever and talk about how I really like Malort. And we would just like fuck around. And we came up with one that was like orange juice, some beer, because I I'm still doing this bit 10 years later with orange juice and Miller. Like this is an old joke that I gave you. And so like we did some of that. And then like a shot of Malort and like an orange peel and then soda water. I think that's what it was. And it was surprisingly nice. It was like a nice bitter sweet drink.
Wow.
And I drank that. And ever since I haven't made that again because I don't know who's got time to enjoy it. Just obviously one little glass and then shoot it. that's what I do with it now. But yeah. Yeah, what about you? What's your favorite beer? I'm so sorry.
I don't know, man. I like Miller Lite, you know? I'm a Miller Lite guy.
But is it your favorite? Oh, it made me like think about how I should be like, ah, maybe I'll get one. I'll get a beer.
I don't know. There's some in Mobile, Alabama, and there's a Beta out of Louisiana.
Yeah.
And they have this beer called Andy Gator, and that's probably my favorite beer. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
I know Abita because I think that's one of Kat's. They do like fruitier, right?
They've got one called like Purple Haze. That's like a fruit.
So that's second mention of Kat contractually. Yeah. That's like one of her favorites that we have in the house quite often. So I do. Hey. I know a thing or two.
Yeah, there you go.
About a beer.
Bit of a beer guy. Yeah.
I'm a bit of a, you know, big, go to a brewery tour.
What's
definitely.
What's the most expensive shirt you bought?
It was probably either. It's always like I can think of like the three most are a Bruce Springsteen shirt, a Billy Joel shirt, and a They Might Be Giants shirt at the event.
The show, yeah.
Yeah, so I got to see, because my dad had work and my parents got top row tickets to see Bruce Springsteen at Wrigley Field. I left after hour two. after smoking weed in front of my mom with these two boomers next to me. So I had a chance to smoke weed in Wrigley Field, so I took it. It was sick as hell. It was before it was legal in Illinois. So that was sick as hell. Around after like the second hour, I got bored, but I was like, I'm going to go like look at the shirts. And there was like a really cool one. And I was high and a little drunk. I was like, I'm going to get it. Didn't even look at it. I was like, I want that one in large. And I took it. It was like $65. I think the They Might Be Giants one, for what it was, it was their, the one with the pink. It's like one of my favorite records by them. It's like a later record. The one with like the pink hearse that has the like monster truck wheels. That was like $45, and that one like disintegrated in the wash immediately. And then the Billy Joel shirt that I still wear was also, I think, another Wrigley Field, you know, tropey Chicago thing to do, is go watch someone at a baseball stadium. But I love Billy Joel, so I didn't give a shit. That was like a fucking $50 t-shirt. And then you wake up and you look at your bank statement, and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, like what the... It just says like Billy Joel at Wrigley Field, and it's like you want to like gesture towards it when you walk into a room, so people you justify the $50, and everyone's like, "Isn't he like a drunk asshole?" And I'm like, "Yes, but the shirt,
right?
Like, look at expensive. It. It was $50. Right. Yeah, please."
Oh shit, yeah,
I was. Those are my three most expensive.
Yeah, I went to before the pandemic. I went to I saw Willie Nelson.
Ooh.
But like just looking at like the merch table, it always kills me at like a big show like that where the prices.
Oh, they're ludicrous and they're amazing because they sell it hand over fist, and that's
wild.
That's the key.
Right.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah.
I mean, even at those Blink show we played, and then that other one we just went to go watch, their shit was like $45 for like how Travis Barker wears those shirts that are so anti-sleeve. I don't even know if they're legally shirts anymore.
Yeah.
They were like selling one of those for like $70. It's just like, and it's like a single color. Like, you got fucked by Blink-182. I don't know what those shirts. It's always some fucking sex joke or something.
Right,
stupid.
Yeah.
Did, frozen in American Pie years.
Hell yeah.
For that
Blink show that y'all played, did y'all bump up your prices on your merch? Were you just like, okay, here's our shot.
I think the weird rule was like there was price. So when you play those shows, you don't really have a lot of control over any of that shit.
That's
all kind of set by like the venue or the touring package itself that has like rules, because I think we had to price match at certain levels as to not undercut the value of the headliner, I think is the rationale. Which is obviously insane, but I think it's just kind of like an industry thing that that's like old and antiquated and won't change. But like, so I think we had to like bump up our prices, in fact.
Wow.
And I think we were only allotted so many designs, and like you could only have so much stuff. And like, I think that's just how it works, because I think 90% of that money that they make, excuse me as I belch through this like a professional, I'm getting all hopped up on spinny right now. I think a lot of the money made from those tours is through those markups and through that merch sale, because it's such an astronomical cost to put on this fucking show,
right?
And I think like the guarantees, although insane and like numbers we can never really grasp our heads around, are probably going to like the giant sign that sets on fire and says fuck or what goes into a team of pyrotechnics to take on tour, like that's a sentence. Or the laser rig, you know, like none of this stuff is probably cheap. So you sell a shirt for $45 and you know, make sure that Travis Barker can have his Mercedes-Benz bus that he only gets to go into.
Wow.
And he also pays for that security guard so that his kid can play drums after the set on stage in front of thousands and thousands of people. It was one of the weirdest things to see and be a part of a show at that level. It's like the weirdest. I don't know. I just don't know how things operate like that in that world. Like Travis Barker didn't, he stepped in for the meet and greet thing, but there was always like, I guess my question is, who the fuck is hassling Travis Barker to this extent where he has like constant security around him? No one can look at him. He sits in his like secret separate bus all day. It's like, what is it like to be is it really that bad? And it's, if anything, tough, then man. I empathize for him and right. feel terrible. But honestly, like, really, if that guy just like put on a hat and a full sleeved shirt
right.
and went out to a Walmart, would anybody actually recognize him? Like,
I don't think
he's just some fucking guy when he puts that stuff on. But right. I guess so. When he's in the venue, a security guard can touch you and just, they're so strong, and just move your body out of the way and let him walk, because he's better than you.
Travis is walking now. Yes.
Yeah, this is where Travis walks, and you walking here is lessening the shitty concrete at the whatever center it was, the Milwaukee.
Now he's, I think he's dating a Kardashian now, so it might be.
There's something. I mean, Keeping Up's ending, so we're not going to hear about it, sadly.
Ah, you hate it.
It's been a long run, you know. I've kept up, and now I can no longer keep up.
No.
They're taking it from me. It's dog shit. How am I going to know what old Kim and other Kim are up to, you know?
Yeah, all the Kims.
The one that has the fitness thing. Third mention of Kat. We watched that show. She's watched that show for years.
Mm.
It is. I love trash television.
Oh, it's the best.
I love the E lineup of trash television. Yeah. I love me some Andy Cohen and all that. So yeah, the Kardashians are. They will be missed. That's it.
I don't want to live in a world without the Kardashians. You know.
Yeah, that's been a constant for like 20 years. Them just being rich on TV.
Yeah.
What a life.
Wow. It's
what
tough.
A life.
Mm.
But yeah. So, yes, we did have to raise our shirt prices.
Love it. Did you guys go with, like, was it, like, $50 for a shirt?
I cannot remember. I don't even think, like, I don't really think we did, like, any merch sales anyway.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, one of those things where everyone, because if you drop, like, $50 at the other shirt tent, then there's no more $50 for your shirt tent. So
right.
people leave, and that was fine because then people just buy it from our website, which I think was like kind of what our merch person was being like, was like, just go on the website, it's like $20, just go right. there,
just wait,
buy your shirt that says like shit, piss, fuck, whatever that song is, because that was a shirt they were selling. So
oh, okay,
you can buy that.
Yeah,
nice. You can buy that. I don't know why I'm dogging on Blink-182. I actually loved that band as yeah. a child.
Oh yeah. So.
But it does age like American Pie milk, so
it's true.
What are you yeah. gonna do? What are you gonna do?
I think you're right. What's what's your perfect pizza?
This sucks. Cheese. Mm. You don't have to get fancy with it. I like mushrooms or spinach too.
Yeah.
I do like these. I'm a vegetarian, so I've been enjoying these cheeseless cheese pizzas that are like the whatever that the fake cheese is hitting strides.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know?
What's
it's time to invest in the fake cheese because they're getting it, you know? Yeah. Get in now. It's the new coin. Yeah, so that's been exciting. There's a place called Dante's in Chicago that does all vegetarian and they got a bunch of punk roots and shit. They're really excellent. They use excellent fake meats too. Palermo's Fake Meats is a really excellent company in Chicago that is small and doing really tasty shit that
yeah.
doesn't have actual dead shit in it. So that's my answer. That's my perfect pizza from Dante's, fake Palermo's pepperoni on top. Chef kiss. It's always too big. And they still cut it into triangles. And I enjoy that because there's this bullshit out here in the Midwest where we cut into the square pizza into like the little squares.
I don't like
it. And it's just, what do you do with that middle shit? It's like, it's all cheese. I need like a bread handle.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not eating the crust, right. other because then you're just eating bread. But yeah. Could go into that.
Right.
We could be real pop punk and just talk about pizza.
The pizza was perfect, and then they started cutting it into the squares, like you're saying.
Squares. Like, who? Yeah. Who was like, you know what? I'm just sick of the same old shit.
We gotta spice. Know? We gotta spice this up.
Yeah, I gotta spice up this meatball.
Yeah. Okay. And in conjunction, a follow up to that question is, what do you want on your tombstone?
I'll never die. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I've always wanted on it.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I think that'd be good. And then have my name and my quote and then the year of birth and the year of death. Yeah. So honestly, though, that implies that I'm going to have a tombstone. I think it'd be funnier to just throw my body to the wolves,
ooh,
have a party around it. Let it just huck. Like, you have all my friends. I mean, hopefully I'm old. You know, I get to live a full life.
Right.
You know, I'm already kind of old, so I guess at this point, whatever. But the physically able friends of mine,
right,
will throw me and then just, you know, give it. They have to do. It's written in that there's ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And then they go, I guess I'll, like, get Subway to cater it. I won't spend a lot of money. But then they can have, like, a little party afterwards.
Yeah, get you a party sub. That'll be, you know,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, exactly. I actually did go to a funeral that was catered by Subway, which is, like, one of my favorite. It was, like, one of my first funerals. It was, like, of my great-great-grandfather. And that, yeah. They didn't have I think it was just great-grand. They didn't have a ton of money, so it was just, right, like, it was, like, a party sub. And I just loved it. That's as a kid. It was, like, the weirdest. It was, like, in the same room, so there's, like, a dead person.
Yeah.
And then it's just, like, here's the big sub. And a bunch of, it had, like, the green cups for the fountain. Like, right. And it's, like, Subway. It was awesome.
Oh, man. Wow. That's great. That's right. Well, it's terrible, you know, but it's great.
You know, everybody dies. It wasn't, like, it wasn't, like, an unexpected. I think you hit a threshold where it's, like, oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's not like someone who is like 22 and you're like, oh my god, that's terrible. It's like 80. Yeah, okay. No, that tracks.
Makes sense.
They died? Yeah. No shit. Call me when they come back. then I'll be shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh shit. Well, Devin, yeah, we've gone like an hour 15 here.
Nice. That's hell great. Yeah.
Do you have any like closing words of wisdom or encouragement or something that you
I'll want. Never die. No, I what I don't know. Keep on being cool. No, be safe, be cool, don't be afraid to be yourself. Do your shit. That's it. That's my good tidings.
I love it.
To everybody. Just do whatever you want most of the time, unless it's bad.
Right. That's good. I think that's solid.
Mic drop.
There you go.
There it is. Well, hell yeah. Well,
Devin.
Also listen to my music and watch my Twitch show and give me money. So,
yeah.
Well, it's more punk to make money than not. Don't let anybody fucking tell you that. These days, it's different now.
It's true.
Say you're artists.
Yeah.
Jerks. Yeah.
Devin, stay on for a second, but you had options and you decided to talk to me today and I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for wanting to talk to me.
Of course.